Good morning, church. Great morning we've had already. Let me invite you to take your Bibles, if you have them with you, and open up to Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be to kick off our time briefly. And also let you know, if you are a guest or maybe you don't own a Bible, in all the seat pockets in front of you are some paperback ESV study or Bibles, and we would like for invite you to take one of those. And if you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. You can take that with you, especially over the next few weeks as we're going to be walking through God's Word together. So wherever you are, whatever Bible you have, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 28. And I don't know about you, but it is incredibly encouraging and refreshing to be able to stand and say and sing, "It is well with my soul," right? That's a gift. That's a blessing. Like Josh just prayed, we don't say that because, all right, God, I've done all the right things, I've gone to church enough, I've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, I've done all that religious stuff, and now maybe you've accepted me because of all that I've done. No, that's not the way it works at all. It is well with our soul because of the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on a cross, who rose from the dead to give us life. Life. So this morning, I told you a little earlier, our service is going to look a bit different this morning. And as we celebrate what we just sang about, and as we talked about earlier, if you're here and you're a follower of Christ, you can say what Ed said, 2 Corinthians 5, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Christ in you. But as we walk with Christ and as we abide in Him and walk with Him by faith, we as followers of Christ, our heart has to beat for the things His heart beats for. In other words, the things that the Lord Jesus is concerned about, we're going to be concerned about. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, a passage that we've read in this church many, many times, a passage that many of you probably have memorized, Jesus expresses to His disciples here, after He had gone to the cross, after He had risen from the dead, He's preparing to ascend to the Father. He's turned it over to the disciples, so to speak, and said, all right, guys, I'm giving you your marching orders. The mission of the church is not unclear. It's not up for debate. We don't have to bring a consultant in and say, hey, what do you think we ought to be about as a church? Jesus makes that very clear here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I'm going to read this to you again. Very familiar passage that He says to His disciples there. This was what was on His heart as He was ascending to the Father and sending out His disciples. And Jesus, verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven and on earth. That just about encompasses everywhere, right? All authority has been given to Jesus. He said to His disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, all the people groups, all the ethne, all the different peoples to the ends of the earth. Now, these disciples were there. Most of them had never even been beyond 30, 40 miles of their home. They had no concept of what that meant. The ethne at that time was us, the other side of the planet. So He gives them their marching orders. He had taught them for 3.5 years. He had poured into them, and now they had seen Him die. They had seen Him raised from the dead. And now He says, what I have taught you, the things I've instructed you, take this message of the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth. He says, baptize them, like we saw this morning, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Teach them what I've taught you, and I'll be with you to the end of the age, Jesus said. So just as a means of reminder this morning for us as a church family as we kick off a new year, this great commission, as it's called here, is not for the paid professionals, right? It's for all of us. This is what all of us are to build our life around, to walk with Christ and at the same time be sharing the message of Christ. We spent several weeks back in November as a church to talk about, what does it look like to live on mission? What does it look like to go make disciples? We kind of walked you through a little cycle. We said, for us, outreach always begins with prayer. We pray, and we pray for names, and we pray for boldness, and we pray for opportunities. We engage with those around us. We don't live on our religious little compounds. We engage where those that don't know Christ are. We share the message. We multiply into the lives of other people. We pass the baton. It never stops with just us. And we give. We give financially. We give our times. We give our time. We give our resources. Why? Because this thing matters. It mattered to Jesus. So the early disciples there, they heard that and they heard this commission and then they took it very seriously. Doesn't mean they were not nervous about it. There were a lot of questions about it. Lord, how are you going to use us to take this message to the end of the earth? What's that going to look like? But we know what they did first. Flip over to Acts chapter 1 very quickly. I'll show you a few other passages. And then we're going to break up in groups and begin our year by praying just like they did. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Just a few hours, maybe a few days after Jesus gives this commission, his disciples were out on the Mount of Olives. They took just a few yards back into Jerusalem and they began to gather. And what they were doing, verse 14 tells us, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. They were praying people. They were praying because they realized, watch this, what Jesus had called them to do was impossible. How do you like that? It's impossible of their own strength. They were only going to be able to do it of His power and have His heart and His perspective towards the people around us. And as they begin to take that message in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, they begin to meet opposition. They begin to meet with difficulty. They begin to meet challenges. We see that in Acts 4, if you want to turn there, Acts 4, 1, they begin to engage the culture around them. They begin to engage with this message of Christ crucified and resurrected there. Acts 4, 1 says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them, greatly annoyed." They didn't like the message that these early disciples were sharing. "Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So as they took the gospel message, they faced opposition. There were challenges. There's challenges for you. There's challenges for me. Whether it's the Western culture we live in and the distractions that are in front of us, or whether it's persecution or difficulty, or whether it's we just are so distracted by so many things, there's challenges to us living out what Jesus called us to be about. The disciples continued on. They continued to proclaim the very clear message. Verse 12 of chapter 4 says, "And there is salvation," Peter teaching here, he said, "and there's salvation in no one else." If you've ever scratched your head and wondered, you know, I hear a lot in the culture about all the different ways and all the different paths to God. Peter here, Jesus scripturally, the Bible makes very clear there is only one way for a person to be made right with God. One way. Peter said there's salvation in no one else. "For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." One. Verse 13, he continues on. And look what happened. As they were proclaiming this message, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, those who were watching were amazed. And they began," listen to this, I love this statement. Man, I hope this be true of you and of me. "And they were amazed, and they began to recognize them," his disciples, "as those having been with Jesus." In other words, they didn't know a lot about Peter and John, maybe, but here's what they knew. There's something about those guys that are different. Those are the ones that spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They were in such a close relationship with Jesus Christ, it was obvious these guys know Christ. Man, may that be true of you and of me. They continue to go out and they continue to reach their community. They continue to share this message. And then look at verse 18. Those who were in leadership and those who were in authority that were threatened by this message, they didn't like Peter, John, and these other disciples proclaiming this message. Verse 18 says, "And when they summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus." Stop right there. Y'all hear that? As followers of Christ, I want you to put yourself in that position for just a second. Has anyone ever looked you in the face? Has anyone ever with boldness looked at you and said, hey, you need to stop talking about Jesus? Or you need to stop this gospel message stuff because it makes us uncomfortable. Now, I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm not talking about doing things that are just ridiculous. But I'm talking about a consistent, winsome testimony of what Christ has done in your life, the message of the gospel. They looked at Peter and John. Now, watch this. They looked at them and said, you guys have got to stop. And these were the same leaders who had crucified Jesus 40 days earlier. What would you do? What did they do? Verse 19, but Peter and John answered, I love this. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. Verse 20, but we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Isn't that good? Whether we should obey you, the authority, or not, you can worry about that. But here's what we know. You can't stop us. We're not trying to be foul. We're not trying to be rude. But you got to understand something. We walked with Jesus. We know Jesus. We saw Jesus crucified. We saw him raised from the dead. And what he has done in our lives, hey, you can't shut us up. I mean, you put us in a prison, we're going to tell the guards. You send us out to Jerusalem, we're going to tell whoever you send us to. We can't stop speaking what we have seen and heard. So, for us as a family of faith this morning, we're going to begin our year in a season of prayer. And I thought for this first segment, now we're going to have three different segments, and I'll teach just a little bit with each segment, not as long as I just have. With each segment, what we're going to invite you to do is just to kind of circle up as groups or as families or as individuals, however you want to do that. And we're just going to turn it back to you, give you 3 or 4 minutes. It's not going to be that long to begin to pray. And in this first segment, after reading this, I'd like for us to guide this first segment of praying. Just pray out loud, talk to the Lord, pray with each other. Lord, would you give us this kind of heart? Lord, would you give me this kind of heart toward those that are around us? And Lord, that I realize what you have done in me, I can't stop talking about it. I can't stop proclaiming the gospel. Would you pray that the overflow of your and mine, our abiding relationship with Jesus, would be flowing out into the lives of other people with the gospel? Would you pray for courage? Would you pray that God would continue to give us boldness to speak truth? In a winsome, caring, kind way, yes, but truth of the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as our team comes and begins to play, have a little music in the background, just want to ask you now to kind of get yourself in a place where you can pray together. Again, if you want to kneel, that's fine. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. But begin to move into groups and just begin to pray together for 3 or 4 minutes about some of these things that I challenged us, and then someone will come and close this first segment in just a minute. So, church, let's begin to pray together. Thank you.
dear Heavenly Father. We love you and we praise you, God. We just are so humbled by your love for us, God. What more could you do to show your love for us, to send your Son to come and die on a cross and die for our sins, Lord, and make a way for us to have a right relationship with you? God, we pray that you would just help us to love you and pursue you, God, with all our heart, soul, and mind, God, that you would give us a burden for the lost, God. You would help us to proclaim the gospel boldly, Lord, God. As a church, God, I pray that you would bring unity through you, God, that you would help us as a church, Lord, to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece, Lord, God. Lord, we know from your word, God, that you say that no one can come to you unless you draw them. God, we pray that you would just draw the lost, Lord. God, that you would open their eyes. You would open their heart to the gospel. Lord, that you would convict of sin, Lord, and that would lead to repentance. And then that repentance would lead to faith in your Son for salvation. God, we just again love you and praise you and pray all these things in Jesus' precious name.
As we kind of move into section two, I want to invite you to still have your Bibles laying there. Turn over to Acts 13. I'm going to walk you through another quick passage of Scripture, and that's going to inform and guide our next segment of prayer. But I just want to remind you that what we're doing here this morning can be a very dangerous thing. It really can. It really can be a dangerous thing for the people of God to come together and begin to pray together and call out to the Lord, because God may begin to speak and put things on our hearts that might make us uncomfortable. Or He might lay people on our heart that maybe we haven't thought about, or call us to a step of obedience or a step of action that might make us a little bit uncomfortable. Well, in Acts 13, that's really exactly what happened. What you have here in Acts chapter 13, if you want to look there with me briefly, Acts 13, 1 through 3, fast forward several years from what we just read, and we're now at another church, the church at Antioch. And we don't really know the exact occasion. It appears that the church has assembled together, maybe like on a Sunday morning. We don't know exactly. And the church is fasting, and they're praying, and they're worshiping, the Bible says. And it's interesting what happened and what came out of that time of praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. Acts 13, 1, I'll read it, says this. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, and then the Bible lists them, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and a man named Saul, we know as Paul. Pretty good lineup there, the church at Antioch. And as they were praying, some way, somehow, the Spirit of God spoke very clearly, very distinctly to Saul or Paul and Barnabas and to the church collectively, and call them to a new step of obedience, that they had no idea of the impact. And look what happened. It says, while they were worshiping or praying or serving, that word can be translated different ways. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit of God said. And that always lends itself to some questions. Does God still speak today? Well, of course God speaks today, but God will never speak outside of what He's already spoken or inconsistent with this book. Some people say, well, you know, God told me this, or God told me that, or God directed me. Does it line up with Scripture? Well, I don't know. Probably not. Well, it's not God. God has spoken very clearly. God speaks to us in a dynamic, active, living way, but always through or in accordance to what He's already spoken. God's not in heaven confused, right? He's not inconsistent. So some way, somehow, through the Spirit of God, God speaks as the church gathers and as the church is praying and calling out to the Lord. And here's what He says. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work to which I have called them. So some way, somehow, the Spirit of God makes very clear there, evidently to the leadership and to Saul and Barnabas and to the church collectively, that God had a mission for Paul and Barnabas to leave the church and go. They left several weeks, we believe, later and went up into Galatia and took the gospel into Asia. And you know the rest of the story. Churches were planted and disciples were made and the gospel spread throughout Europe. And now, watch this. Here we are 2,000 years later as a result of what took place in Acts 13. It's a big deal. So as we move into our second time of prayer, here's kind of the way I'm going to ask you to pray. You may want to again, pray as a group. You may want to pray as individuals, however God leads you to do that this morning. But here's what I want us to pray this morning. God may want to impress upon your heart or place something on your heart, a particular person, or maybe a particular area of ministry, or God may be stirring in your heart about a step of obedience to a place. Maybe it's to cross the street. Maybe it's to go to the ends of the earth. Whatever the case is, we trust the Spirit of God to speak through His Word, through His church, into our lives this morning. So, Lord, what are you calling me to? Secondly, let me encourage you to pray this way. When you came in, you should have received a little card like this one, a little perforated card. If you were here several months ago, we've done this before. We're going to do this several times a year as a church. If you didn't get one, they're in the seat pocket in front of you. And what this simply is a card with three blanks on it. As you're praying, I want to ask you to ask the Lord to put at least three names on your heart of men and women, boys and girls, whatever the case is, around you that do not know Christ. In your sphere of influence that you're going to begin to pray for. It may be the same three names you've been praying for months. That's fine. It may just be a renewal, whatever the case is. But you're going to take this. I ask you to fill that out. I'll tell you what to do with it in just a few minutes. But Lord, put these names on our heart. And then I'd like for you to enter this time kind of with this attitude. As we say here a lot, always the attitude of this. Lord, I don't know what 2015 looks like for me. I don't know what you might call me to, or I don't know what doors might open for me, or I don't know who you're calling me to go to. But Lord, my answer, watch this, before you even show me is yes. Some people say, write a blank check and give it to God and let him fill in the amount, so to speak, of your life. Lord, I don't know what is ahead, but I want to say to you this morning, my yes is on the table. Would you be bold enough in your prayer time to just tell the Lord that? I don't know what the next year means, but Lord, my answer to you is yes. So let's continue in a spirit of prayer. If you want to group up, that's fine, however you want to do that. But let's just move into the second time of prayer, and then someone will close our time in just a few minutes.
Father, we come to you today not really asking, should we go? You've made that clear in your word that we are to go, that we are, if we say that we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we are a sent out people. Father, I pray that Tri-Cities, our family here, and in Johnson City, that we realize we are a called out of sin out people, that we are to go and make disciples here and in our nation and around the world. So, Father, I pray that right now for our church, that the question we're asking is not, should I go? The question is, God, who are you calling me to go to? Is it a friend? Is it somebody I go to school with? Is it a neighbor? Is it someone in Asia? Is it someone in Portland? Is it someone in South America? God, who we pray that you would give us the boldness to go to them with the gospel message. Just like we saw and read in Acts chapter 13, that we're a church that pray and fast and seek you, and the Holy Spirit, through your word, will confirm where we need to go and who we need to go to. So, Father, I pray that we go out with the gospel with all boldness, that we speak the name of Jesus, and that we're not ashamed of the gospel. And Father, I do pray for our families that have left, that are sent out, that are in Portland, that are in Dominican Republic, that are in Costa Rica, that are in Portugal, that are in South Africa, that are in Uganda, that are in South Asia. And Father, I pray the families that you'll continue to send from Tri-Cities, both here and around the world, that will be faithful, that that, as Jesus said, we won't hide our light under a basket, that the gospel is meant to be proclaimed from the hilltops to the nations, to the people, that is something to be shared and to be spoken about as taught in your word, Father. So I pray for that boldness for every man, woman, and child in this church. And Father, may we be faithful to take the gospel to all the nations. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As we move into our third and final segment of prayer, I want to direct you back to Acts 13 briefly and kind of follow the model that we see there. What occurred there in Acts 13 in the church in Antioch was, as the church gathered and as they prayed, God again impressed upon the hearts of some the next step that they were to take. God was using that church to literally change the world, to impact where they were, to impact the nations. And it seems that the next thing they did, as God called out and God spoke as he did, the next thing they did is they continued to pray. You see there in verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then how did the church respond? Well, it appears that they continued to pray. They prayed and they heard from God and they prayed some more. God confirmed through prayer and through his word what he was leading and speaking that church to do and to be involved in. Verse 3 says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So there in that church in Antioch was the church that God used literally to change the world. Here at Tri-Cities, our church, an expression of the church, the local church here, and God has used us in so many ways in the past few years and continues to use us. What's it going to look like in 2015? We don't know all the doors he's going to open and all the ministries he's going to allow us to be involved in and the people he's going to allow you to personally reach in your life where he's planted you as you live your daily life. But what I want to do in this last segment is I want to give you three or four particular areas of opportunity in our church to pray for specifically. Let me give you an example. One is, I'd like for you in your time to first pray for the Tri-Cities area. This mission field that God has placed us as a church here in Gray and in our Johnson City campus. You, where God's placed you, whether you live in Gray or Kingsport or Bristol or Irwin or wherever, you might want to begin to pray for your particular area, maybe your workplace or your school, but in particular this Tri-Cities area. And then secondly, I want to ask you to pray particularly for the Johnson City campus. Many of you guys know we're a church in two locations. We have a campus in Johnson City that meets, and then that church has been going on for a year in that campus. But we know the Johnson City campus will begin to meet at a new location by April or May of this year. What we don't know is exactly where is that going to be. God has not showed us that yet. So we're praying for the location, we're praying for funds, we're praying for God to provide clearly where that expression of Tri-Cities will begin to meet in Johnson City. So we're going to pray, we're going to trust God and ask Him to provide and show us that. I pray you do that this morning. Thirdly, I want you to pray for Portland, the city of Portland. Pray for Remedy City Church. If you don't know, you've heard different things about it. If you're new to Tri-Cities, we believe in church multiplication and the multiplication of churches. We get to be a part of planning a brand new work in the city of Portland, Oregon, a city that somewhere between 90 to 95% of the people who live there claim no religious preference, have no church home, don't know Christ. Josh and Amy Carter, the Boers, the Doblers, three families from our church have already gone out. They're there in Portland now. So begin to pray for that city, that God would prepare a harvest. Pray for Remedy City Church, that we get to be a part of that, and we are. That's us planting a church in Portland, Oregon. And then I want to ask you to pray for the nations. Particularly, as a church, over 2015, we will be directly involved in nations like the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Uganda, South Africa, Portugal, Southeast Asia. And I want you to begin to pray, like many of us are, for an unreached people group that we can begin to minister to and reach into. We don't know who that is yet. We don't know where that is. We're asking the Lord to show us. So in this last time, I want to ask you to group up again, pray for some of these specific things before the Lord, and let's trust the Lord to do great things in us and through us. All right? So church, let's begin to pray.
Lord Jesus, we lift up the Tri-Cities to you. God, how awesome to start the new year, God, with seeing those who are coming to faith in you and being set free. God, and yet there's so many who are still bound and broken and burdened. God, may we be bold. You say that we have not been given a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and in sound mind. May we go forward in boldness, God, with a love that's real, with lives that have been sincerely changed, with a message, God, to share. God, we thank you for the work you're doing in Portland. God, we ask that you would just bless their efforts, God, and allow that dark part of our nation, God, to come closer to the light of Christ this year. And Jesus, you are so worthy of worship from every nation. God, may your glory and your renown be the desire of our hearts. God, may we love like you love. May we look upon the multitudes with compassion as you do, God. May our hearts break. And God, we thank you for those from our church who've been sent to the nations. We pray that this year more will be called out. God, may we not be selfish, Lord. May we not hold back, God, but open our hands and give our lives. You gave your life for us. Are we any less than you, God? Would we be willing to give our lives for you? God, we look forward and long for the day when you will receive praise from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. But until that time comes, God, may we be faithful, Lord, to go and to share and to proclaim your name in the world. And God, we thank you for our salvation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.